Tonight, we are on Revelation 13. The thick of the studies of Revelation is coming to the very beginning. The real tough studies are now. And God is going to describe from now on a very remarkable future event, the incarnation of the dragon, the really anti-God, the Bible called here the beast, the antichrist. And we can even, in the air, we can feel it through listen through United States Congress. We know the East is against Christ, include the Jewish people. They are against Christ. But to hear it in the West Hemisphere, in this section, Christ is out of Europe, Germany, who was the heart of theology, Holland, who was the heart of the wonderful blossom of Luther and the blossom of Calvin and Swinley and all these mighty men who rebel against other teachings than the scripture. They're all under, and they're no longer blossom. England, who received from Holland and from Germany the blessings and kept us in searching the scripture. King James looking into the translation of the Bible to find the truth with AB scholars and so on. We've been in churches in England, not too far from London, 20 miles from London, and there were 8 people in church. The Baptist church that we went in Randolph, England, was very successful. They maybe have 60 people, all right, and so on. And so I tell you, these events that we're going to study now, Revelation 13 on, are dedicated until chapter 19 to the description of the Antichrist. And so I'm going to go today heavy on the Old Testament, on Isaiah, and you ladies are studying Daniel, and you must already maybe touch on these issues. But I'm going to show you in the Old Testament how these are already foretold. Maybe the people in the Old Testament say, well, what the prophet is talking about? But these are foretold, but it is here. Well, we should read then Revelation chapter 13, verses 1-10. Here is what the Bible says in the King James Version. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I add the word I, saw a beast raised up of the sea, having 7 heads and 7 horns and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, in other words, a throne, and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wounds was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power to the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, the drama is pictured there, but then it tells you how we are waiting for that victory. Now, in chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, John saw the dragon. That's what the Bible said here. Saw the dragon standing on the seashore as he stood, and the beast rose up out of the sea. And as you remember in verse 1, has 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon the horns, 10 crowns, and upon his head, the name blasphemy. Isn't that something? And the body of the beast was like a leper, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth the mouth of a lion. That's what the scripture said. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat. Seat means give an extra throne for him and great authority. Now, this does not necessarily really means that the dragon gave him his own seat and his own power so that he is out. No, but he gave him power and a throne and a place and great authority. Now, here is the picture of a composed beast. All right? It's horns and heads and all of these. So my first question that I have on the scripture is, what does these composed beasts signify? It obviously signifies something. What is it? All right. I want to tell you this. This is not the first time that we read in the scriptures of a beast coming up out of the sea. So we must go to the Old Testament for an explanation. I'm going to use this study for that. And then I'm going to use the coming study to tell you what each beast what each symbol of the beast is in the Old Testament. So let's go to the book of Isaiah first, all right? And here in Isaiah prophecy, you go to Isaiah chapter 10. I will read some verses for you. And I'm in page 91 in the outline. Let's go to, I want to establish in your mind that this is not something new. All these symbols and all these characters. The Old Testament, God used these in the Old Testament to signify something. And I'm going to go to Isaiah, and I'm going to go to Daniel, and I'm going to establish the 4 political magnitude of powers of the world that we ever be. And there will be no more political power. And today we're going to learn that. And so that you establish the year in which you are today. Or not the year, that's a wrong word. The time in which we are. The year we'll never know, but the time in which we are. Well, let's look in Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah sees the Antichrist under one word, Assyrian. Look in chapter 10. Of Isaiah in verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. O Assyrian, the wrath of my anger. Assyrian is not against the country of Assyrian in there. Look at in verse 12. Wherefore it shall come to pass that when the Lord hath performed his whole work upon Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of stout heart of the king of Assyria. If you look in chapter 11, verse 4, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The wicked is not the wicked, the people is only one, a singular. A singular. So the word wicked is singular. So the word Assyria is singular in number in the scripture and cannot refer to the wicked person in generals. So those who believe in dispensation, they make this the time in which God was against Assyria and the other. No, cannot be. because the word is singular, is against one person who is conspicuously wicked. So God is establishing his anger against one individual, the Isaiah called Assyria, and called the wicked. All right? Now, God used this expression in the New Testament, and Paul does this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. In the paper, I copy the text, so in case you don't have to move your Bible. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, the expression is strikingly like, here in Isaiah, like the Apostle Paul. This is what Paul says in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. Then shall that wicked be revealed. That wicked, one individual, one single person. That wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So don't try to be against the Antichrist. Let the Antichrist rule, because he's going to be destroyed at the coming of the Lord. Okay? Now, reading from my paper in page 91, I said that it is evident that Isaiah and Paul refer to the same individual. The wicked of Isaiah is the wicked of the Apostle Paul, who can be no other than the Antichrist, because anybody who is against Christ is the Antichrist. Now, we can look in Isaiah chapter 14, and verses 4 to 17, and see the description of the king of Babylon, who shall smite the people in his wrath and rule the nations. So we have in Isaiah 14, the king of Babylon. We have in Isaiah 14, the name Lucifer, as the son of the morning. And so I'm going to read for you to give you a picture of the Antichrist, all right? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, and I'm going to read verse 4. And that thou shalt take up his proverbs against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor seized the golden city seized? It's not talking about the king of Babylon there in Babylon. It's talking about something else. And it's revealed in verse 12 with another name. You move your eyes to verse 12, same chapter. And here the Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? And then the translation of Lucifer follow, son of the morning. That's what Lucifer means, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, now this is what Lucifer, with the king of Assyria, with Babylon, with all these pictures, has said. It's only one thing. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now, what the Antichrist want to do is want to take over the church. He doesn't care about the government. The governments are all evil. All the governments of the world are evil. Unbelievers ruling the world, they are evil. But what the Antichrist want to do is he want to sit in the church. All right? Verse 14, I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High God. Wow. You see that? I will ascend. And look at verse 13 again. For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the highness of the cloud. I will be God. That's the Antichrist. And that is what you will see in Revelation. You will see the Antichrist planning. So as he plans, he is kind and gentle, but he has only one thing in mind, to move you away from your belief into the belief that he is God. That is what it is. Now, it is really impressive to me that's what happens. So verses 12 to 14 evidently refer to Satan himself. And so Isaiah is saying to me and to you, oh, you can use all these names and all these pictures, but it comes down to one thing. Satan is the Antichrist. It's not the Pope is not President Reagan, is not this, is not the other, is Christ, is Satan. The Bible points out only to one person who is really want to get into place and finally confront God himself. How foolish it is, but that's what they want to do, all right? So Isaiah give us a help. All these pictures of Revelation 13, all these heads and all of these are Satan using all these people to finally thinking that he's going to move the Bible away and he's going to do this, he's going to do the other. And it's just unbelievable how Satan is trying from different corners to destroy the presence of God in people. One of the things that I'm looking into, I always ask the Congress of the United States, the library, to inform me. I have an automatic line, inform me when a new version of the Bible comes in. And I got in 313 new versions, counting all common language. The more common language now is Arabic, and then English, and then Spanish and French and so on. And there are 314 versions so far until yesterday. They are new to the versions that have been established. And they are the Americans, because they have money, they are creating a new version called the digital version, who has portions of the Bible to save you from reading the whole Bible. And they're going to be the most popular version in America. It's just amazing. See, this is Satan. It's not the editor or the publisher. It's Satan. It's Satan in the hearts of unbelievers who disguise themselves as believers and put themselves over there. So Isaiah tells me, good. Pastor Otero, don't look in a man. Don't look in this. It's Satan himself the one to destroy. Now I want to work on Daniel. Daniel is good. You already, ladies, I think you are over chapter 2 in Daniel, ladies?
Six.
Okay, so now you're going to be recalling what I want to say. I want to work on chapter 2. You're going to recall in your mind what you studied. By the way, ladies, you are not in, here where all the ladies here are in Daniel. It's just tremendous. Well, Daniel saw what I call a colossus. The book of Daniel may be divided, as you ladies know, in two parts. The first six chapters refers to history, and the second six chapters refer entirely to prophecy. And so what is in the book of Daniel? Well, there is a dream by Nebuchadnezzar, and there is four visions of Daniel. That's the way I remember Daniel. There is a dream, and there is four visions on Daniel, and all related, not to Israel, but related to the time of the Gentiles. So Isaiah is to Israel, and Daniel is to the Gentiles. That's the way I had divided practically in my mind. Now, in this book of Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, in his dream, saw a great image. What I, in American terms, would be a colossus. The head of the image was of fine gold, and the breast and arms of silver, his belly, that means the abdomen, and thigh, the hips, of brass. His legs were of iron, and his feet of iron and clay. Now, this image, amazing enough, in the dream, was destroyed by a stone that was thrown, that was cut out of the mountain supernaturally. And the stone, in turn, became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. And let's read that in Daniel chapter 2, and verse 31 to 35. So I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 2, and verse 31 to 35. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, Daniel is revealing the image, whose brightness was excellent, it stood before thee, and the storm thereof was terrible. Verse 32. This image, head, was of fine gold, his breasts and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest still that a stone was cut out without hands, which is smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and break them to pieces. Then was the iron and the clay, the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Is not that a great picture of Christ? All right. So here you have in the image, the Colossus is destroyed. And the four metals of which the Colossus was composed represent four great empires. And so let's look there in verse 37 to 40. Remember there were four metals, and those metal, the metallic form of the Colossus, represent four empires. The Bible tells you. Verse 37 in chapter 2. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power and strength and glory. And whatsoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heavens, hath he given into thy hand, and hath made thee ruler over them. Thou art this head of gold. In a minute, I want to explain to you what country is and so on. Verse 39, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdue all things, and as iron that breaketh all, these shall it break in pieces and bruise. So here we have in the book of Daniel the representation, the put together of what the stone really is. Now, what I really see in this is this, that the God is telling Nebuchadnezzar, now here is what I'm going to do with the wall. And I explain it in a minute. Four great and only four great empires were to succeed each other in the governments of the world. That's it. Nebuchadnezzar, he was in command of the world in the year 606 before Christ. And these, from that time on, from 606 before Christ till the coming of Christ, there will be only four empires in the entire world. Now, who are these empires then? Here we are. In page 92, I explain it to you. The Babylonian was the first one, the Medo-Persian, the second, the Grecian, the third, and the Romans Empire, the fourth. These empires are not only made known as to number, but their names and the order of their successions are given. The first was the Babylonian Empire, as indicated in Daniel, while interpreting the vision to Nebuchadnezzar. Thou art his head. Remember in chapter 2, verse 38? Thou art the head. So here it is. The Iraqi, the Babylonian, the Iraq, was the first glorious, more powerful empire of the entire world, Iraq. All right? Second, the Medo-Persian, Iran. Daniel points out his account of Belshazzar feast, remember? And by the emphatic words, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took over in Daniel 5, 30 to 31. You find that. And so God changed the empire now. The Iraqis are gone, and the Iranian empire come as Darius came in. Darius was the one who sent Israel back to Israel through Ezra and Nehemiah. So Darius came. Now, the third empire is the Grecian Empire. It's mentioned in Daniel in chapter 8, verse 20 to 21. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Media and Persia, and the rough goat is the king of Greece, and Alexander the Great is the one at the age of 30 who conquered the empire. All right. Now, on page 92, again, the four is the Roman Empire. It's referred in Daniel 9:26 as the people. That's how Daniel put it together. The people of the prince that should destroy the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary. And we know that it was the Roman Empire and the great emperor Titus. Remember? In the year AD 70, Titus destroyed and conquered Jerusalem, and there was no more memory of the Jewish people. The world was in the hands of the Roman Empire, just as the book of Daniel described it. All right. While these four great empires were to follow each other in order and in name, they were not to follow without breaking. The Babylonian lasted from 606 to the year 538. The Medo-Persian lasted from 538 to the year BC 330. And the Grecian Empire from 330 to 323 BC. Now, the Grecian was broken up into four empires. Remember, that was the time of Jesus came. The Thracian, the Macedonian Empire, the Syrian Empire, and the Egyptian Empire. And the last of these was conquered by the Romans in the year BC 30. And the Roman Empire lasted from BC 30 all the way to AD 364, when it was divided into the Eastern and Western Division, is what you have Christianity divided and split into Western and Orthodox Christianity. You know it in that name. Orthodox Christianity and the Pope Christianity. There were two popes and divided and split. Now, since then, there has been no leading world empire. Today, we don't have a world empire. And cannot be, according to this prophecy of Christ, until the stone, Christ, comes and hits the world and becomes a universal empire. Let me show you who is the stone. Ephesians chapter 2. In verse 20, remember that the stone was cut without hand. That means it's not natural. And Christ is not natural. He came through a woman without a man. And so here is the stone. Chapter 2, verse 20 in Ephesians. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophet, Jesus Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstone. Is that clever? See, God is saying there will be these empires, and then there is an empty spot, and then the stone comes and hit. And when Christ came in, they destroyed that Roman Empire. So the time when the stone falls on the feet are told is in the days of those kings. Remember, Daniel 2:24 said, and the stone will come in the days of those kings. As those four empires come into place, Christ will not come under the Iraqi Empire. Christ will not come under the Iranian. Christ will not come, I know for sure, under the Greece, but will come under the Roman Empire. So when people put dates, it's ridiculous. God give you pictures and how to do it. And that is the kings represented by the 10 toes of this statue, which, as we shall see, correspond to the 10 horns of Daniel and the four wild beasts and the 10 kings of John in the book of Revelation. So what I want you to have a concept is this. This is the time for the Antichrist. I don't mean today, but this is the season which the Antichrist could come. The Antichrist will not come when those empires were in power, because those empires were the Antichrist themselves. But then God said, that's it. And the Antichrist can only be put down by only one thing, the stone, Christ Jesus. All right. Now, looking in page 93, and I deal in the next study with the bear and all these details, but I want to have the ground to you to know what time it is. We are not in the time of the Egyptians. We're not in the time of Greece. We're in the last times. And I want to show you a scripture that summarizes all of these in one shot. I'm reading from page 93. The first four kings were literal kingdoms. And so must be the stone kingdom. So if the first four in the statue were literal kingdoms, then the stone kingdom must be literal. All right, when people say, oh, no, that's a spirituality. Well, was the Iraqi kingdom real? Yes, you can go to history in Oxford University. You can go to Alexandria University, speak Arabic, go over there and read it. There was the kingdom of Iraq, the kingdom of Iran, and the kingdom of Greece. All of this information of the Bible, it's written in history. You can read it. So if this is real, then the kingdom of God is real. That's what I try to tell people. All right. Now, where Christ will come and destroy it. Okay, let's go back to Revelation 21, and I show you, and everybody agree in theology with this, that this is the time the stone will hit and dominate. Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. The stone grew. And I, verse 2, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God, out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears and from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. These empires are gone. When the stone come in, are gone. So it cannot be during these times, I mean, when Christ comes. So from the time of the Colossus of Nebuchadnezzar, we can learn this. There will be all kingdoms in operation, and God accepted. But finally, it will be God's kingdom. Now, here is where theology is divided. Some theologies said God's kingdom will be 1,000 years on this earth. And my theology is not, there will not, there will be the heaven. But we both theologically said there will be God's kingdom. So I'm not getting upset about it. These people have a kingdom for 1,000 years. I have a kingdom forever. So we all saying the same thing with different interpretation. God's kingdom will be established. Where people say an earth. I read in the scripture that the earth is not be patched. The earth will be new. And so I deal with that. And I show you both sides so you take a peek on it. But one thing it is. What a refreshing thought is to know that God is going to establish his kingdom. Whether 1,000 years on this earth, that's fine. I will have my Maserati then. Or forever in heaven. Doesn't bother me, the two criteria. But the criteria that I really want you to have is that God will establish his kingdom in spite of whatever people. They take Bible out, they're reading in the school. You cannot have a representation in public buildings now because this is religious. Oh, they will come worse and worse. But God will establish his kingdom. And that gives me real peace. I just laugh for every decree of this. Now, I also want you to know that the Gentile dominion is represented in that image of Daniel by the metallic man. That's what I call it, metallic man. You know, the degeneration of the world kingdoms is seen in that. And I went into my old physics. So bear with me. I want to teach you a little physics. You know, in physics, we don't say this is a piece of wood. This is 13.5 matter. And I explain to you in a minute. All right. Silver is worth less than gold, brass than silver, iron than brass, and clay than iron. Now, the weight of the Colossus also declined. The specific gravity, you know specific gravity? When we're going to make a building, we measure the specific gravity of the metal against the specific gravity of the earth, and so we calculate the weight that comes and rests. So that's how columns are calculated. So I give you some of this. This is established in physics, okay? Gold is 19.5, the specific gravity. Silver is 10.47, the less value, less resistance. Brass is 8, less resistance. Iron is 5, and clay is 193. So when they're making the bridge here, I just walked to the contractor and said, what is the specific on the soil? He said, the specific, amazing enough, is only 1.90. I said, whoa, we must have clay. That's what it is. So he said, we have to add five more columns way deep down, at least to get 6 points specific. As a union engineer, I happen to be. I said, but I just want to know if we're in solid ground. No, in this area here, he said, we are on clay, and so we have to do it. So you can see that God is saying there was a strong empire, less. So that teaches me one thing. Man was big and great, and then became degenerated. We are not improving as mankind. We are declining. That's why you have all these pornographies and all of these, you know, in the empire of Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody had pornography, they kill it. But now it's just right on the screens and everything and the battling and so on. So I tell you, it's just amazing how, I said, now look at the end of the world. The Bible is right. The empires of the world are declining. And by using these terminologies and measure them. So in other words, the governing power has passed from a head, very strong and clean, to nothing. And that's what we are today. So what will destroy this empire of the world who is so weak? Brother, is the Word. Christ and the Word will destroy it. When you say to somebody, no, this is not what the Word of God said, then you're really strong. You're really strong. You're using the stone. When you say, no, salvation is not in the Lord's Supper, salvation is not in virgin and this, salvation is on the Lord. You're using the stone. Now, get that picture tonight. When you are sharing Christ, you're using the stone, and the stone is going to become big. Now it looks small. Look at our church, 100 people in the morning. The stone looks small, but it's not small, it's powerful. And it's going to blossom. In a mighty way. So what Revelation 13, 1 and 2 today they are trying to say is there is a lot of pictures there. And the pictures are not new. The people say, oh, John is crazy. No, the pictures were there in the Old Testament and the different names, but there were pictures. And what Revelation 13 is saying is coming a great tribulation, but the stone is going to conquer. So that is hope. Now, next class, we take all these pictures of the New Testament, and we open them up through the Old Testament. Thank you, Father, that there is no doubt you have the power to overcome. And you are giving us these pictures to be confident day after day in the hassles of every day. Yes, we're going to be surprised by news every day that passes. And what a surprise will be when Christ come and conquer as the stone. Thank you for letting us know what is ahead. It's no good. But thank you for letting us know that one day this is over forever. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, perhaps you have some questions that I don't know the answer, but you maybe have some questions tonight. Deborah, any question? No, all right, see? Where is Tricia? No, Tricia, all right, no question. All right, let's go home and rejoice in the fact life is tough, but you know your trust is not in your work, it's not in your finances, it's not this. Your trust is in what you believe in Christ, and He will protect you, all right? God bless you. Have a great week. All right.